Hey, fabulous listener. If you want to become a powerful and profitable trauma-informed coach, my business partner, Kushla, and I have a special free 5-day training starting next Monday, April 29th. To join us, you can simply message me the word powerful at Erin Anderson Trauma Coach on Instagram, or on Facebook, you can find me at Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching, and we'll send you the details so you can join us. We're going to be sharing some special training on our body, mind, energy approach to help clients have faster shifts and healing, and how we make a consistent 5 figures each month as trauma-informed coaches. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know may like, make sure you come join us for this 5-day challenge. We're going to be sharing more in there than most paid programs. Welcome to The Other Side of the Struggle. This is a podcast where we talk about trauma, how to heal it, and then how to take it and use it to unlock your mission and your potential, and to use it to live your very best dream life. When you're dealing with betrayal trauma, it can be hard to know how to heal it, how to stop the pain, and to know what your next steps are to take in your own life. And these are the questions that we try to answer here. Trauma has the ability to rob us of our joy and identity, which is why it's so miserable to experience. But with the right tools and with the right mindset, we can totally reclaim that joy and even use this trauma to strengthen ourselves so that way trauma does not knock us off of our joy again. Living your dream life should be a non-negotiable, but trauma tends to try to negotiate that with you. And even though trauma is not something that we will completely ever be free of in our life, the pain is negotiable. This is why I created Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching and this podcast, is because I want my listeners, I want my clients to live, truly live free from the prison that trauma can put you in. I want you to live on the other side of the struggle. Okay, my loves, I gotta ask you just really quick, would you like to learn the keys that it takes to overcome money trauma and to start earning some really awesome cash so you can build some wealth, you can pay off those stinking bills, and so that way you can really start to make some decisions for yourself and for your family, and so you can lean into more of what it is you really want to do and create with your life trauma-free? If you do, then I've got some really good news for you. I have a 3-day event coming up. It's going to be online, so anyone, anywhere can attend. It's going to start September 11th at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And we're going to go over the 3 keys to creating lasting and sustaining wealth. And guys, it's actually crazy easy. A lot of the things that we think are keeping us from making massive, massive decisions, massive, massive goals, and keeping us stuck in the mire and the mud of trauma in life, actually, there's usually a simple answer. And so I really want to give that answer to you. If you would like to come to this event, let me give you the information really quick. You're going to want to go to erinanderson.kartra.com/page/3keys to create lasting wealth. I'll make sure to link this in the description below for you guys for today's podcast. Make sure you go check that out. Get a spot. Come join us. The seating is limited.
and I will see you on the other side. Hey everyone! Welcome back to another episode of The Other Side of the Struggle. And as you guys know, I have been the last couple of weeks talking about the Rejuvenate You event that is coming up March 7th, 8th, and 9th. And all the guest speakers that we have going on there. And I have to introduce you to another guest speaker that I am just really loving getting to know. She's been super fun, has a lot of like the same kind of messages and things that I do. And so, but just with a little bit of a different perspective. And I love what she does. She talks about healing from familial trauma, right? Instead of just the actual personal trauma, like she's coaching families and deep, deep relationships through some really, really hard things, because she herself has experienced these things, as we've chatted a little bit before getting on and doing this call today. But I really want to introduce you guys to Donice Openshaw. I'll let her tell you guys a little bit about herself, but I think you guys are really going to love what we're chatting about today.
Thank you, Erin. It's so good to be here with you and all of those who are watching. So I am essentially a family relationship coach, and my intention and purpose is to create healing in families. And it's multi-generational, because we don't get away from whatever we've learned. I've had fascinating conversations in my head and with other people about the whole nature and nurture. And as Erin and I were talking, so I have three children, they're all adults now. And my last child is adopted, and we adopted her at age 5 from foster care. And so there's been a lot of learning through experience, and mm-hmm. we've had our share of navigating trauma, and it's been a journey. And so from that, I really realized, family is, focus on the family is that whole focus, and healing is really about creating wholeness, and it's creating wholeness within our homes and our family, and connecting those generations. And it all starts here with me. That's what I realized, right? Like, nothing changes until I realize what's going on inside of me, that allows me to see things through a different lens, and now approach people in my life, particularly my family, with a different perspective.
I love that so much. When you're talking about, it starts with me, it starts with me, it starts with me. That's like so true. That's been the key to my own story and my own journey, like helping my kids navigate some really, really tough things, helping my husband navigate some really, really tough things, and myself as well, And a little bit into my background, one of the things that keeps bringing up is this, thought of, in order for things to change, I must change. For things to get better, I must get better, right? I remember the first time I heard that, I wanted to huck a tomato at the guy's face. I was so mad. I was angry. Like, how dare you say that from the stage? And I was in this audience fuming, right? And but man, as I really just sat in that energy and sat with that for a little while, I realized like the truth of those words, like that's really like one of the key foundational pieces in healing, truly. Like if people are still struggling with trauma in the family and things like that, like turning it in, taking some ownership and saying, okay, what do I get to take responsibility for? What do I get to heal? It's like,
yeah. And here's the thing we don't want to hear is it's 100% up to me. Mm-hmm. I'll share with you a philosophy. Like, it's not 50-50 for me in relationships. Everybody gets to bring their 100. Brene Brown talks about this, and I love how she talks about it in relationship with her husband. she still is like a 50-50, but I love what they've connected around. And that is, she and her husband will communicate with one another. It's like, you know, hey, I'm having a kind of an off day. I'm bringing in, actually, no, they don't do 50-50. She does 100-100, but it's like the husband might come in and say, hey, you know, I'm having an off day. I'm coming in at a 60% today. She's like, okay, well, I'll make up that 60% or whatever, you know, that 40% or whatever. And so it's just really interesting, but we get to come into every relationship with our whole self. Mm-hmm. I am responsible for how I respond to whatever happens to me in the world, 100%. I don't get to give that away. Because if I try to, it's fascinating, but if I am showing up less than my 100%, I'm most likely in victim story. Mm-hmm. And if I am showing up in over 100%, trying to do everything for everyone else, or even just one person in my life, I am now in my martyr story. Mm-hmm. And so it's 100% that I'm responsible for how I perceive everything and how I interpret what's going on, the conversations, everything around me.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about like the martyr, talking about the victim, you know, you're actually hitting on something that I talk about on this podcast. A friend of mine, Daniel Adams, has talked about on this podcast, and that's the drama triangle.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're dealing with here. And I think this is like key because, you know, we're talking about like how to protect children when my spouse is heavily into pornography. That drama triangle is major in seeing where you're at and being able to make a decision forward. Because if you're viewing your husband as the villain, you know, 100% the villain, and you're over here trying to be the hero, and your kids are the victims, you know, it's really hard to see your way forward when you're stuck in that kind of a triangle, that kind of cycle. And so what I'm hearing you say is that realizing first and foremost, like where you're at, like doesn't necessarily mean that some days like I might have a head cold or a flu bug and my 100% is like my 15% on normal days, right?
Exactly.
And same thing with like emotions. Sometimes like we get certain traumas, triggers, things like that that come our way. And all of a sudden, like instead of going 100%, we're maybe down at 50, 45, 30, you know, and that might be our actual 100% that day. But what it means is being 100% in ownership of your life over your situation. And because when you're in ownership, you actually have control over the do. When you're in blame, you have no control. You're sitting there saying that all the control lies with this person and I have to wait for that person to either apologize or get their head on straight or whatever it is before I can actually experience what it is I want to experience. And that's a very, very dangerous, I feel like, situation. So, you know, talking about like changing our, getting out of that drama cycle for just a minute, let's kind of talk about like what are some of the impacts that, you know, the exposure of porn does actually have on the family. And then maybe some of the things we can do to help protect, like what are some things we can do to fortify? So I'm going to let you talk to that first. Like, what are the impacts that the porn actually does have on the family? What are the circumstances?
So I want to mention something that you said. You know, it's all about that responsibility, that ownership lies within me. That's the 100%, right? Mm-hmm. As you mentioned. And you mentioned choice in there, and I want to go back to that for just a moment. Stephen Covey is often quoted as saying this, and also Viktor Frankl, very similar quotes that they say. But the power of choice lies within the stimulus, the space between the stimulus or trigger, as you mentioned, and my response to that stimulus. And so that is that space in which I have the power to choose. So whether I'm feeling icky that day or, you know, whatever is coming up for me, there's still that power to choose in my responsibility. And I think that's so important and key to know, because We can all have bad days. All of us usually have a bad day.
Yeah.
And what we're talking about, Erin, is the patterns, right? And the pornography is, it becomes an addiction, is very much a pattern. And that pattern continues to happen and the impact that it has on the family. So, and as I mentioned before we started this call, like, we know if you've done any research into pornography and how it affects people, it not only affects the individual brain of the person that is experiencing it, now it's impacting every relationship they're in.
Yes.
Every relationship, not just with their spouse and their children. It's how they show up because they're now acting in an incongruent fashion according to what their values may be. Because an addiction is an addiction. It doesn't matter. Like, a lot of people who get into porn and start it, it's the private space, right? They're like, I'm not affecting anyone. It's just me who's looking at it. Well, the effects on your relationship with your spouse, you can actually probably speak into that, you know, significantly. And then the relationship with your children, which I'll speak into a bit more, is now everything has become, you know, with this addiction, the brain is not clear. My idea of a relationship is now tainted, particularly with my spouse, and tainted in a way that there's unrealistic expectation. And there's a saying that they use in like the 12-step programs, and that is, expectations are premeditated disappointments.
Oh, I love that so much. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I love that. Okay. Give
credit to on that quote, but like, expectations and setting up expectations are premeditated disappointments. Now, some people might say, well, can I have an expectation on my spouse? Well, expectations of what we are looking for and what values we have in our lives and what we are choosing to create with our spouse, slightly different. An expectation in this case that we're talking about is something like, you expect it to happen. If it doesn't happen, you're disappointed. Right? Like,
right.
You know, and there's something else.
Yeah. Expectation.
Yeah. So an expectation in this case, is it okay to have an expectation that my spouse is not looking at porn? Well, yes. Like, it's different. It's a different kind of parameter that we're talking about. So the expectation that, you know, my husband is never going to see pornography, that my children are never going to see pornography. I'm going to protect my children so heavily, for lack of a better term, that they're never going to see pornography. Well, I hate to break it to you, but in this day and age, it's no longer if your children will see pornography. It's how much, you know, what they'll see and how often they'll see it. So,
and
yeah.
I want to add to that too, like, not only just how much and how often, but what are they going to experience? What are they going to think about it? Like, how is this going to, you know, like, what is this going to do to their psyche? And I think this actually kind of steps into this next question of, like, you know, one of the statistically kids that come from homes that have, you know, extensive pornography, which, you know, if you actually look at the statistics, it's like 98% of homes right now, I think, that are in it. Yeah. So almost everyone, unfortunately. But the thing is like, these kids are also more susceptible to looking at porn themselves, which, you know, makes sense if they're being exposed to it at an early age. But not only that, they're also more susceptible to being abused and trafficked and all these things. And this is part of the reason why we're having these things. And I, like, this isn't to scare parents into being good or anything like that. It's just the information, right? But why do you feel like it is that's happening? Like, why are kids, you know, more susceptible to these things when the pornography is in the home? So how do you feel about boundaries? It's a legitimate question. A lot of people come to me really struggling with this concept. They often feel guilty for setting boundaries, or they're not sure about even what a boundary is. You know, they've heard the term, set the boundary, things like that, but that's really confusing for them because it's not something that's well taught in our society nowadays, right? They know that boundaries are really important to having healthy, constructive, supportive, and wonderful relationships, but why? And oftentimes, they also know that they feel like their boundaries are being violated, but they can't quite pinpoint what the boundary is that's being violated. That's why I've created the Clarifying and Creating Your Boundaries free PDF. You can find out what your boundaries are, how to tune in to what the boundary needs to be, and how to effectively create and communicate your boundary so that way you stay in this place that respects you, respects the other person, but also gives you the confidence in your boundaries so that way you stop being gaslighted, disrespected, and unseen. So having your boundaries really clear gives you a voice and also helps the other person stay in accountability with themselves. So that's not a role that you have to take on anymore. So if you are ready to really have clear boundaries, to really understand what your role is in the boundary, and to give yourself some safety and some protection against people that might try to gaslight you or are just being disrespectful, go grab my Creating and Clarifying Your Boundary PDF at erinandersonthetraumacoach.com. And while you're there, let's schedule a call with me. Come have a chat with me so that way I can really, really help you master this particular skill, creating boundaries, clarifying the boundary, communicating that boundary, and so that way I can also help you have relationships that show up to support you, cherish you, and love you.
Well, it's like an open portal. It's like opening a door, right? Like it's like, wow, thinking about this in a different way right now. So thank you for allowing me time to process through this. So but if you think about it, you know, when a door is closed, no one's walking through it. When we've opened that door, when we've even cracked the door open to allow some of that in, or, you know, so I'm currently dealing with a sugar ant issue. Haven't had bugs in my place forever and ever. And all of a sudden these ants just like, poof, just appeared. I'm like, where in the world did they come from? Well, I was watching just a couple days ago how one or two or three, five ants were coming, you know, wasn't a lot. And intuition said, get these taken care of right away, or else you're going to have a lot more ants. Well, it was at night and I didn't get to the store to get some stuff. And so sure enough, the next day there are ants all over my kitchen counter. So like, I know, gross, because I have Italian soda syrups that are out and I got them sealed really quickly. But the point being is like these ants have now found an entry, right? They had now found their way to my home and they called more ants. There's like, you know, and so anytime we open the door to something or we don't seal something properly, they keep, the ants will find a way in, but then it just allows for a buildup to happen. And so if one of, you know, the adults, or even if it's a teenager that's looking at first, who's looking at some of the pornography, it's now just opened this, I'm going to say spiritual portal. Like, you know, it's like there's just now this attraction that is coming into the home. And, and the impact, we know, you know, addiction and drugs and the dopamine hits and all of that. Here's the other thing, Erin, too. Like, you know, it affects the brain. Like, we know that. Pornography is a dopamine hit, just like drugs. That's what helps an addiction. But think about a mind of a child who is not fully developed. The frontal cortex is now, it's age 25. It used to be like 21. Now it's gone all the way up to 25, that frontal cortex is not completely developed. So my reasoning is not completely there. And so now we've opened this portal. They don't have the full frontal cortex to create, you know, reasonable boundaries. And think about this too. I believe that a lot of the adults who struggle with pornography probably saw it before they were
Oh, yeah.
And it just keeps coming up. And now it's about this choice between that stimulus and that response. And that choice, that power within that choice, they feel is weakened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just share really quickly, like, when our kids were little, it was so much easier. So I have three adult children now. My youngest is almost 19. And when we taught them see something, say something concepts, right? Like mm-hmm. if you see a picture pop up on the computer, immediately turn the computer off and go tell mom and dad, right? Like, you know, it was so easy. Well, now our kids are walking around with these handheld devices at a younger and younger age. And so it's going to happen. And it's how do we protect them?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I think if you not only just on the spiritual level, but also like looking at the statistical level of this, like it is not that hard for companies to trace like electronic signatures. It's not that hard. And your phone, your computer, your television, those are all electronic signatures, and most of them have a camera, right? And so it's really not that hard for things to be pinged to you, for people to actually see what's going on. And I know, again, like, this is kind of a scary concept of, like, what is actually the truth of what's happening out there. But not only are you opening up, like, spiritual portals, but you're actually opening up a lot of physical, mental, and emotional portals as well. And this is unfortunately just the situation we're dealing with right now, right? And it's like you said, it's not a how, but more of a when, right? That it is definitely going to be, they're going to be exposed to this. So What are three things that we can do to fortify our home? Like, let's like get into the hope mm-hmm. of this situation, because there are still things we can do.
Yeah, perfect. So the first thing is, you know, similar to a concept with our kids, it was a lot easier to shut it down. But the key thing is open communication, honest, open communication. So whether it be with your spouse or your children, with yourself, right? Like, it's having that open, honest communication. And then I would say, even before that, especially for kids, is when you're having that honest, open communication, you, before you go into that conversation with your kids or your spouse, have some ideas, create a plan, just like we did with our kids when they were little. It's like, you know, when you see something, shut the computer down, let mom and dad know. It's the same thing here. So create something with your kids and establish, like, you're going to see some inappropriate pictures that may pop up on your phone or the iPad or even, you know, the TV or while you're searching on the computer, whatever it may be, and establish what you want them to do. So it always needs to go back to that they get to come to you, because we know that that triangle you were referring to earlier, it is all based in shame.
Yes.
And when there is shame, then there is no communication.
Yeah, there's no.
And when there's no communication, yeah, we just cycle in that shame and play the shame game over and over again. So establish what you want your kids to do. So I always say, you know, just not just, but like, they get to let you know that they saw it. And then you can now sit down with them and have an honest conversation about how it made them feel when they saw it, that there is no shame, but that is why it's important that they don't continue to look at those pictures. Without the shame, Erin, that is key, especially in a conservative religious culture that many of us may know.
Mm-hmm.
Any conservative religious culture, there's a lot of shame around.
Yes, a lot of guilt.
Yeah, a lot of shame and guilt. Now, here's the difference for me with shame and guilt. Shame keeps us stuck. In my experience, shame keeps us stuck. It's like the spinning wheels of a truck that's in the mud. And that guilt, if it pings in my core, my heart, and my soul, I now can do something with it. Shame is like in the darkness. You know, Brené Brown talks a lot about it, mm-hmm. and it's beautiful. So the key thing is that we approach our children shame-free,
mm-hmm.
like really with unconditional love. that we create a plan with them, that when they do see it, what is it that they do, and then have that honest, open communication with them, and that they know that door is always open. I actually created relationships with my children in a way that when one of my children was struggling, and we knew it, but we didn't know it, they were able to come to me and talk to me about it. And here's the thing I want to let all parents know, especially moms. We don't get to take on the shame either. If one of our children is viewing pornography, or our spouse, we don't get to take that on as shame. It does not mean that I failed as a spouse or as a parent. It means that I get to love them unconditionally and stand in support with them. Like, you know, this is all part of the work that you do. Mm-hmm. And the key thing is that we can fortify our relationships in our homes by making sure that we have those things in place, that there's no shame, that there's unconditional love, that we have a plan with our kids, and that there's honest, open communication.
Yes. And like, I love what you're saying, you know, open communication, unconditional love. And, you know, and again, like coming back to that expectation is premeditated disappointment, right? Like expecting your kids to do X, Y, Z. And I think like that stands in this, like it's actually in my first pillar where I talk about the difference between intention versus expectation, because expectation is the adversary of intention. And, cause we got to get real, right? I mean, that's really kind of like the first step to dealing with this kind of a situation. We got to get real and realize that yes, our kids are going to get exposed to it, unfortunately, cause it's all over the place. Billboards
everywhere,
kids from school, right? It doesn't always have to be in the home. It's like everywhere. Unfortunately, like those ants that you were talking about earlier, right? Like that was such a good analogy, like so good. And the piece to this, though, is like you said, that unconditional love. Love is never conditional. There is no love that is conditional. If it's conditional, that's not love, that's shame. That's got a pretty little pink bow on it. That's all it is. That is truly all it is. Because if you think about it for just a second, you know, I've gone through, everybody has gone through, I think, times where we have had shame heaped on us, you know, all in the name of love. Or like people have pulled away from us because of something we've said or something we did that they didn't like, but yet they're giving us all this shame and all this guilt tripping and like all these things, all in the name of love. That's not love. That is not love. True love, yes. Like there have been times where I've had to pull away from people because they were no longer a safe person, but I did it in love, realizing that it was the best decision for me and for the other person. That's a whole other ball game. But when a child is coming to you, or a spouse even that's coming to you saying, I am having a struggle, I think like this actually brings us into like the second piece that I would specifically say is necessary for fortifying your home from pornography. And that is to heal you. Arm yourself with these abilities to be intentional, to take ownership, not of somebody else's things, but ownership of your emotions, your thoughts, your actions, like everything that is you, taking some really serious ownership of that. And then like getting really, really congruent with your values. And you mentioned that incongruent with your values, right? Because we have so many distractions in this life. And that's actually the adversary to the third tier that I talk about in healing from trauma. But so much distraction causes, I feel like, us to weaken our foundation. It causes us to feel like there is no hope. It causes us to feel like there's nothing we can do. Like, it causes us that anxiety and that fear and all of these really, really negative pieces. And it keeps us in a shame cycle all on its own. And so, like, arm yourself with the tools of truth and logic and unconditional love for yourself, for your family, for everyone involved. And it's amazing to see what happens. You know, I mean, I can say, and you can probably say this too, my kids have definitely been exposed to it. I'm sure your kids have been exposed to it. And I know, like, so many of my friends, family members, they've been exposed to it. I've been exposed to it, for crying out loud. You know, and it's not by anything I've done intentionally. It's just there, unfortunately. It's too easy to find.
How we act in the face of seeing it is what we get to be clear about, because you're talking about it starts with me and what am I modeling for my children. And if a spouse is in heavily into pornography and how it's affecting the family, like, we get to have those open dialogues with one another, and it's supporting each other in a way that is unconditional. I love how you said that. It is not love if it's conditional. Mm-hmm. It's so profound. And, you know, you think about it, like, one of the things I will tell you that's a kind of a mechanical piece too, is we were and still are with our almost 19 year old, very intentional about what apps we would let our kids have on their phones and devices. Yes, same here. So that is also a critical piece, because there are some apps I did not know, Erin. First of all, I did not know that iPods, when we got our son's iPods, because I wasn't getting them phones, partly because of the internet or whatever. I didn't know iPods had internet access. Okay. This was way back.
I remember those. Yes.
13 years ago, when my first child got an iPod, and I was like, I just thought they were like games and music and stuff. So that was a fun learning lesson for me when he came to us the first time as a 12-year-old telling us he had seen something and, you know, was uncomfortable with it. But the other thing too is, like, these apps is just being in. I also didn't know that on Instagram you can hashtag search just about anything. And so, like, even some of these apps that we use on a daily basis, it's just so important that the honest, open communication is happening without the shame and with love, true love, as you said, because that is really the only way that we can fortify our homes against, you know, the porn that is coming our way.
Well, you know, one of the things I love to do with my kids is just pour truth into them. You know, I've got two teenagers, almost a third. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, teenagers, you know, I love them. I think they're awesome. They're so much fun. They really, really are. Your kids get to interact with you and they can talk to you on a much more, like, adult level at this point. But when my kids are struggling or they've seen something or anything like that, like, when they come to me, the thing I love to remind them of is how fantastic they are, like, how glorious they are, like, how, well, like, what I get to see and what do you see in yourself? Like, and really help them align with that truth. And this is where the unconditional love comes in, because here's the thing. People do not behave above what they believe about themselves. This is, like, the key to fortifying your home also from pornography. If you help them instill truthful beliefs that are full of self-love, unconditional self-love, that where shame, and yeah, I get what you're saying, like, with the guilt too, like, you know, sometimes that guilt can make us go, oh, I didn't like that, right? But I think excessive guilt causes excessive shame. You know what I mean? And so you have to be really careful with guilt too. But when we're dealing with all of that guilt and all of that shame, that's not who we are. That's actually a indicator of a lie that we're believing. And so when we get to shift that into truth, like, hey, guess what? Did you know you're a rock star? Did you know you're a goddess? Did you know you're a freaking general? Like, did you know these things? Because that's true. And the more you instill the truth in your children, the less they have a desire for this. And I've seen that true for my own children, you know, because they've come to me and they've definitely seen it. And they're like, it is enticing, Mom. It is totally enticing. And I'm like, I know. But let me tell you something else that is even more enticing. And the more that they love themselves and they think that they're amazing and they get to come to me and talk to me about like absolute truth, the more joy they're feeling, the less they are feeling drawn to this on their own.
That's powerful right there. That's so powerful. And yes, like anytime you're sitting in blame, shame, fault, guilt, any of that, it's going to cycle, right? The deeper mm-hmm. it is. The key is that there's something that happens within me that I get to listen to. And I talked about a ping of guilt, whatever it is. It's not guilt so much as it's this communication that's happening on a soul level, that something gets to change. And I believe that is centered in love. You were talking about that earlier, that true mm-hmm. love that's unconditional. What I'm hearing you say about your sharing with your teens is how powerful they are. I love that. Like, do you know you're a goddess? Do you know you're a general? Do you know, like, it's really fortifying mm-hmm. how they perceive themselves. And in that power that comes from me being in my authentic self and what my mom sees, she's reflecting back this amazing human being that I am, then I get to be that mm-hmm. versus stuck in the mire and muck of addiction or whatever may be happening. And I know when someone believes in me, I show up differently.
Yes.
I show up differently. And it's also that beautiful space of like being intentional. You mm-hmm. mentioned that earlier. It's about what are we intentionally creating?
Exactly. Oh, I love it. I love it. And like, again, you know, I'm just going to reiterate this again, like getting help for yourself first so you can fortify your kids like that. Because if you have that kind of a viewpoint on yourself, and then sometimes that's kind of hard to grab. You know, because you've had so many experiences that have shown you something different, right? But if you can actually grasp the concept that you yourself are a goddess or a god, right? That you're an absolute creator. Then you have the ability to give something that you have. You can't give what you don't have. And this is part of the reason why I'm saying like a key thing is to get support for yourself. And the ways to do that, I'm going to reiterate it again, and come see us at Rejuvenate You, you know, or contact Donnie's, contact me if you're looking for some coaching. If you're somebody who's really seriously ready to get in and do some deep work so you can fortify your home, fortify your family, and fortify your relationships from the destruction that is the pornography drug. You know, Donnie's and I both have the skills in order to help you fortify that. So get in touch with one of us or really any of the people that have been on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And definitely go get a ticket to Rejuvenate You.
Yes. I want to see you all there. It is absolutely such a beautiful space and healing.
Yes. Yeah.
Creating the opportunity to be in a space with like-minded people who have that desire and intention to heal ourselves so that we can heal our homes and our neighborhoods and our communities and this world. So, and it all starts right here.
I love it. It's going to be so yummy. It really is. So, Donnie's, we are talking about freebies that we have created as well. And I know that you've created something free. Do you want to share that with us?
Yes. Yeah, so I have a call, actually. It's a 30-minute call with me. And when you register, by, we'll say September 15th for Rejuvenate You. You get to book a call with me, and it's a 30-minute I call Save Your Sanity strategy call.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my goodness.
So you'll walk away from that 30-minute call with one or two tools that you can implement right away that will support you in fortifying yourself and your home and strengthening you and what it is you're creating in the world.
I love that so much.
So we'll drop the link in the comments below.
Love it. Okay. Yeah. It'll be in the, so make sure you guys check out the notes, the show notes, and then also in the description. I'll make sure to tag that in there along with Donnie's. Do you have a website as well, Donnie's?
Yeah. So, well, my website is fullyinvestedfamilies.com. Fullyinvestedfamilies.com. And then I will drop the link in here for you so that that everyone has that for the call. When they book their Rejuvenate You. So when they buy the ticket, you get to buy your ticket and let me know. And then you can certainly book that call with the link that Aaron provides.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, everyone. Well, Donnie's, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. This was such a good call. Like, I have a feeling this is going to be a big hit in the podcasting world. So, I can't wait to chat with you again. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for everybody hanging out with us today. And until next week, I'll see you on the other side, guys. Bye. Okay, my loves, are you tired of feeling overwhelmed, like you have lost yourself in the trauma, and like you have to control everyone and their decisions all the time? If that is you, then I have a brand new freebie just for you to help you start to organize your life and your time to start reflecting more of what it is you truly want. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard clients and potential clients say that they just wish that they could find themselves again after the trauma, that the trauma is consuming their every thought and that they just cannot move past it, and that they're feeling super, super overwhelmed by life and their responsibilities, and that they just don't have time for themselves anymore. The aim with Organize for Healing is simply to help you simplify, get some answers, figure it out what it is that you truly do want, start gaining the confidence in yourself, in your decisions, and discover yourself again, to get clear with who you are, have your own back, and become your own best friend. Because my loves, when you truly, truly have those things, you are in true healing mode, and in a mode where trauma cannot disrupt you again. So if you are ready to take some simple actions and simplify your life and to start getting back into play mode and start reclaiming your confidence, your desires, and your life and identity again, go grab my free PDF, Organize for Healing. It is in the link below in the descriptions. Go grab it, and I will see you on the other side. From my heart to your heart. Bye. Hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me today and listening in on this podcasting episode. Don't forget to tune in